listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live from Las Vegas, 200 Fox Sports Radio stations across the country, 6 Eastern, drive time, 3 here in Vegas. It's the day after Monday, Monday Night Football recap. Also, on Mondays, we typically, yesterday, it's a marquee. It's the big stories. On Tuesday, we get to dig in a little bit more on the Vegas side. What is it that some people are saying, many people are saying, that we think is just plain wrong, and we will bet you on it. Speaking of betting, one of the pros who know, Brad Powers, Fezzik Study Day back tomorrow. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. Now, we got Jonas Knox in L.A. Jonas, tomorrow, kind of an interesting day. You're going to – Gottlieb has a golf tournament type thing.
Yep.
I can't leave Vegas during the football season, so I wasn't able to go. That took a lot of I got to get my work done, though I would have loved to be there. It's like a wonderful event FSR is putting on. You are hosting, and I'm not sure with whom, the first couple hours of Gottlieb. Then for the last hour tomorrow, it's an SOV takeover is what we're going to call it.
Yeah.
Last hour, Gottlieb, an extra hour of this show going into our normal hour. Should be fun.
Yeah, so I'm going to be alone firing hot takes for a couple hours just to warm up for the SOV takeover.
It's kind of like at the end of Doctor Strangelove. There's the general there going, he's just by himself shooting out against the army. Sort of like that.
RJ, we start here on Straight Outta Vegas with Monday Night Football, where it was all New England yet again. The Patriots over the Jets, 33-0 last night, and New England now 7-0 on the season.
Yeah, and what we like to do is we like to start where the other shows leave off. So let's recap what the other shows are saying, and I think accurately, New England's good.
Yep.
Jets, last week we thought they were pretty good. Darnold came back. Oh, maybe he's not so good. Maybe we start there, though. With Darnold, is this just a normal up and down of a younger quarterback? It's still, though, the middle of the second season. He missed a good many games. So he's had, what, 3 starts this season, started a lot of last season. Open question on the side of, this is another sign that he's a loser. Darnold, not a great quarterback, not a good quarterback, maybe not in the league soon enough. All right, there's that side. The other side is, hey, you're young, you're going against Belichick, bright lights on Monday night, excusable. Brad, where do you fall on the spectrum?
I'm more of the former, so the first part of that, and because I'm going to go back another year. I'm going to go back to his last season at USC, where we saw a lot of these turnover issues pop up for Sam Darnold. Now, a lot of people out there have said, yeah, he wasn't getting great coaching at USC. That might be true, but to me, I mean, this isn't just a year and a half thing in the NFL. He was a turnover machine his last year at USC. I would be very worried if I'm a Jets backer right now.
Okay, now that's fascinating. The turnover issue. So let's go over that. Then we're going to get Jonas's take of where they are on the spectrum. We're straight out of Vegas. So plus 5 turnovers. That's what the Patriots were. Go back 30 years or so. Those teams win the game plus 5. So New England in this case, 96% of the time, they cover the spread 96% of the time. So against the spread, which is supposed to equalize for where the Patriots are better, so they should get a few more turnovers. Okay. Against the spread, team plus 5 in turnovers, 158-7. 158-7, one push. Wow. So 96%. So to some degree, this is like what happens when you turn the ball over. You lose. You don't cover.
Yep.
But turnovers have a huge element of luck, but there are skill elements to them. And throwing interceptions or not throwing interceptions is probably the main skill that's part of the turnover equation. Recovering fumbles isn't, really interceptions themselves isn't. Tip balls, all that, you know, there's all luck in it, a lot of luck. Some guys fumble more, but they usually don't stay in the league very long. So you're saying, hey, I'm a college expert, and that knowledge extends to the NFL. This is the guy who turned it over. My question to you is, Darnold turned the ball over then, now, how much of that is about him trying to make a big play? Which in a way I don't mind, because when you have the dink and dunk type player in the NFL, they never do well. So the question is, name me a quarterback that's elite that won't take chances.
That's a good point.
You can't. So in a weird way, if someone is turning it over because they're taking chances downfield, then the question becomes, can they get good enough that that's a net positive? And it doesn't always happen. But if you are throwing short and short only when you're young, you never become anything. So this is almost like a good problem to have. The only question is, does he have the skill, discipline, effort level, whatever it is that leads to being able to take risks downfield and still not turning the ball over a bunch? Back at USC, did it feel like just carelessness, or did it feel like he was looking to make big plays?
He was looking to make big plays. He was forcing the issue a lot his last season there.
So the question then becomes, will Darnold mature enough? Will he, is his skill sufficient to do this at the NFL level, to take chances efficiently enough to not allow the turnovers to dictate losing the game?
Yeah, and I will say this in his behalf, in his defense, Sam Darnold, when he entered the league last year, was the youngest starting NFL quarterback since the merger in 1970.
So you might say, okay, let's give him till he's 24, except that's not how people think.
Yeah.
In a weird way, it's a disadvantage to him, because year three, the New York radio is not going to be saying, you know, he's only 22. They're going to be like, well, I'm 55. It's time to win something here. All right, Jonas, same question. Where's Darnold at on your grade?
I think if he were Mitch Trubisky or Baker Mayfield and he had that performance last night, he'd be getting crushed a lot more than he is. I think it's still too early to judge him, but I feel like he is getting a bit of a free pass by a lot of people in the media.
Okay, so like one of the hot takes tomorrow is going to be like Darnold should be put in jail or something.
Who knows? I mean, I got him brewing. It just depends on what's the best.
The percolating. Yeah,
we got to let him marinate a little bit. So.
Well, get him out the first 2 hours, because five Eastern, we're going to win some money on a Wednesday.
Right.
Full house here, Fezzik in. Now listen, think about these turnovers. I mean, we said it yesterday. A lot of people couldn't believe it on Twitter. It's just true. If you could choose to know something about a game before the game, a genie came down, and the genie said, you can know anything. Well, I want to know who's winning with 50 seconds. Okay, but let's be realistic. If you could know between who's winning at halftime or who wins the turnover battle, now most of you are thinking, no, I got to know who's winning at halftime. So they could be winning by 30. Okay, fine. Literally, the turnover battle winner predicts straight up wins and against the spread wins better than the halftime lead. It's that important. And it's a good flip side to the Patriots, because as good as the Patriots defense is, you look at DVOA, there's talk that it's as good as any in memory, 30 years tight. But here's the caveat. They've played offenses, and I'm not sure the best way to represent this. Some people have said no one inside the top 20. So, Brad, maybe pull up the list of who they played. And you could say, well, the Jets had a third-string quarterback and Falk, and thus their stats are bad. Okay, fine. But to me, if you just look at the offensive side of the ball and we're going to tick down these teams, what's going to be obvious is these are not good teams. And more specifically, they're not good offensive teams. And thus, yes, they've been shockingly good. I mean, this is stuff, you know, people have been starting to talk about the 77 Steelers. You might say, wait a minute, 77, they didn't win a Super Bowl. You're right. They started 1-4. Now, I was like, 5 years old, so I don't remember this, but I heard about it and read about it. The Steelers that year started like 1-4, had a bunch of injuries. And then the last 10 games of the year, they gave up like 30 points. That's like 3 points a game. Now, think about that. I've always heard that, thought about it, said never there's going to be a D like that. But then you got to look at this Patriots and even go back to the Super Bowl. Look at what they did to that Rams team. And whatever the Rams are today, that Rams team made the Super Bowl last year, went into New Orleans and had a coin flip game. Forget if they should have won, if they should have lost. It was a coin flip game in the NFC Championship at the toughest venue or one of the toughest venues in football to play. The Rams were mighty good last year. And Belichick just shut them down like nothing. Well, it took a lot of effort, but total shutdown. And now if you look at these teams, and this is just based on the DVOA of the offense, you got the Steelers, who had a limited Big Ben, I think it's fair to say, 24th right now ranked. The Jets, 31st. They played them twice. That's a little bit better, right?
With Darnold.
Darnold, maybe.
Yeah.
Except if we look at the QBR.
Yep.
All right, so QBR is a quarterback trend from ESPN that stat that I like. I think it takes into account strength of competition, a lot of factors. Where did Darnold's bad performance obviously fit in the scheme of things yesterday?
The worst in more than two calendar years, RJ.
Wow, so like literally, that's not just for Darnold. We're talking about all quarterbacks.
Yes, 0.7, RJ.
Falk is on that list?
Yeah, he had a worse performance than any game Falk played this year.
You know, I'm wondering if it's at Kaiser No-No. Was he the one that had the worst?
No, it was Andy Dalton.
Oh,
Week 1, 2017.
Okay, so think about that, guys. This isn't he had a bad performance. This isn't, he was almost as bad as Falk. No, he was worse. Miami, number 32 offense. Buffalo, number 26. Washington, number 30. Giants, number 25. Now, you might say, well, the Giants, Daniel Jones, I'm not sure Daniel Jones is playing much better than Eli was, really, yeah. If you add it all up now. I'm not saying there's not some reason for optimism. 24, 31 twice. 32, 26, 30, 25. Now, listen, I'm not a math major, but those are some of the worst.
Yes.
In fact, it's almost incomprehensible that's been the schedule.
Yep. For a defending Super Bowl champ.
Yeah, defending Super Bowl champ doesn't mean anything. It's what you start in the division.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're gonna. But Pittsburgh, right? They won the division last year.
Yep.
Am I remembering that right?
No.
It's all blurring together.
No. They missed the playoffs. Remember?
You know what's funny? When you don't win the Super Bowl, so I guess they'll have to play what, Baltimore?
Yeah.
Okay, so they haven't played Baltimore yet, and in theory they're gonna play Kansas City. We know that. And then they're going to play, I guess it was Houston, right?
Yeah, they're at the Texans.
Yeah, so really, that's interesting. And I think that is the point here. It's not as if the whole schedule is easy on the offensive side for New England. It's that so far, it's been so front-loaded. And the easy answer is, well, they're going to be good, but not as good. Yeah, we know. The question is, are they an all-time defense, New England? My gut feeling is yes, but the stats now can be deceiving because of that strength of schedule. And Darnold, as bad as anyone, or worse than anyone in over two calendar years in the game last night. So if you're, to me, Colin Cowherd fits right in this, there's never going to be a time that they're ever going to say Sam Darnold's no good. It will be somehow, it was Adam Gase's fault. Yeah. Let me put this in the time capsule. Same thing with Andrew Luck. After all this time, they said Andrew Luck's one of the best players ever. Like, that literally was the talk. And it was, well, they don't have enough offensive line. The bad coach. The wind was blowing in the dome. The air conditioner was too loud. Whatever it was, there was always an excuse. When he quit, you think they'd say, well, he didn't really turn it. No, you didn't hear that, did you?
No.
It was how courageous he was to quit on his team a couple weeks before the season. So we're never going to, when these guys are wrong, they're never going to say they're wrong unless there's something in it for them to say they're wrong. Well, we're going to hold the Sam Darnold guys accountable because I've said this now for about a year. I haven't seen a quarterback turn out to be really, really good who starts out as mediocre as he started out. I'm not saying quarterbacks don't get better. I'm saying this level of play from Darnold now, a year and a half in, is not the level of play you associate with a potential elite quarterback down the road. He might be 15, 16, 17 down the road, ranked 1 to 32. You don't win Super Bowls that way. The Jets won a Super Bowl. When we come back, Brad Powers is getting hot under the collar about Arizona. He has to answer for the Cardinals. We'll do that when we come back.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. There is a team red hot in the NFL, and it's bad news for one member of this show.
It looks like it could be for Brad Powers. We're going to shine the spotlight on him in a minute. Man, we were talking about New England. I was looking at these stats. 7 games, right?
Yep.
3 touchdowns allowed by the defense.
That's amazing.
That's less than half per game. Hold on. Yeah. Yep, it's less than half per game. It's almost incomprehensible, but the strength of schedule is so bad, and they got so many turnovers, it's hard for the Jets to even compete yesterday. Thanks for joining us. We got Ken Thompson coming in, bottom of the hour Tuesdays with Thompson. A couple heated conversations about college football. You can listen to us, 200 Fox Sports Radio stations across the country, or foxsportsradio.com, or the iHeartRadio app, or SiriusXM, or podcast. Just search for RJ Bell. Right now, here in Vegas on the Strip, 81 degrees, neon is flowing.
So, RJ, the Arizona Cardinals have won 3 straight games after they go on the road and beat the New York Giants on Sunday. Arizona now sitting at 3-3-1 on the season, and that could mean bad news for a member of this show.
And you know what happens? Is these bad takes just almost like if someone gets soot in their lungs and then they go breathe on someone, they're giving them soot. Brad came in Wednesday for the NFL podcast. We do a deep dive. This baby was like over 3 hours last week. And he had a handicap on the Giants that was really sharp, or so I thought. So then I keep digging. I'm like, man, Brad's got something here. So I like him. Come Friday in the show prep, Fez is like, I want to pick the Giants. It's like, come on, it's Brad's pick. I want to pick the Giants. Well, now no one's fighting to pick the Giants.
Yeah.
And some of this, Brad, you got to wonder, was you understanding that this was a must win for you when it came to a must lose for Arizona? Because you made a bet on Arizona across the whole season.
I did. So right before the season, what we call in Vegas a dime, $1,000 bet. I bet Arizona under their season win total 5.5. I'm like, how in the heck is Arizona going to win 6 games this year? Cliff Kingsbury got fired at his alma mater. They didn't want him. And now he's an NFL head coach. I mean, and then you talk about Kyler Murray, the number one overall pick in the draft, RJ Bell towering over him at the Super Bowl last year, 2-3.
True.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, how in the world can this team win 6 games? So I went ahead.
Well, first off, you're acting like the way you're explaining this, if everyone listened closely, it sounds like there's some mystical force that's working against you.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, how could it happen? It must not be possible. Are we in some alternative universe? No, we're not. We're right here. You were wrong. So let's start hearing some eyes. Not mistakes were made. Not that any reasonable person would have thought the same. But me, Brad Powers, I was wrong. Let's get more towards that.
Yeah, I have been wrong so far to this point.
Oh, you want to double up?
I do not want to double up.
So what are we seeing now that you've taken a little responsibility?
Well, Kyler Murray's improving.
Think the number one pick would improve?
I was worried about his durability throughout the course of the season, especially when he started running more, which has happened in the last 3-4 games for Arizona. So that's still a concern moving forward, but he's certainly exceeded.
Well, it's still a hope for you.
It's a hope. Good point. That is the word, hope.
Right now, are you hoping that he gets injured?
Oh, wow. You're putting me on the spot.
Just tell the truth. That makes it sound.
Yeah, I'll tell the Yeah. Nothing serious, but if he misses
but you
a
wanted
few
to,
games.
You wanted, oh, so you would he rather can, him play some more games, or you'd rather him just the day the season's over be 100%?
Day the season's over, he's 100%. But if he can miss the next six games, that would be good.
Wow. Wow. I mean, at least you're honest, though.
Yes.
I mean, it's not good. I mean, murderers sometimes confess. It's not a good thing. Jeez. But it's better than the alternative. So the coach, I mean, listen, first off, I got to take some culpability. No, that's not fair. I was wrong. I had nothing to do with your handicap. But I also was very skeptical because to me, there's a sense in the modern era that history doesn't matter, that the way things used to be, they don't matter. Now, every generation has felt that. But this young, this newest generation to emerge with the technology being so prevalent and it being something that if you don't understand tech, you really are out of it. So a lot of the wisdom that the old timers used to have, well, those old timers don't understand the math, the tech. So I think the distance between the wisdom and the, let's say, being on the scene, being on the ground, being the now generation, right? Every year they want to, or every generation, they want to emerge and say it's a new world. Well, to whatever degree it's a new world, I think it's more so than it's been in the past with the new generations. And I think the distance wisdom has to travel from the old timers requires a significant amount of tech, or you are pretty much out of it. But boy, the idea that you could hire a college coach that was a failure in college. I mean, we got the go-to stat, right? How he did in the Big 12, except for Kansas.
13-35.
13-35 in the Big 12.
Yes.
If you just eliminate one patsy opposition.
Yes.
Okay. That didn't look good to me.
No.
Who was fighting for him to be a college coach?
Nobody. He was going to be a coordinator at USC.
A coordinator.
Yes.
Under a lame duck program,
yes,
to some degree.
Agree.
And then they said, you know, there's 32 of these jobs. We want you to have one of them.
Yeah, there was rumors that he had a cup of coffee with the boy genius, Sean McVay.
Yeah, so, and what is his true connection with McVay? Kingsbury. Was he ever on the same staff?
I don't think so. Kingsbury's been in college the last, like, 10 years.
So this has been an example where it's not about McVay as much as the scheme, the modern,
yes,
concept, the college concept, spread.
Yep.
And then we did the analysis. Which quarterbacks, just simply by yards, right? Because that's about longevity and performance. And it was something like two out of, what, 160 of them?
Yeah, 151.
Two out of 151 were under what height?
5'10".
Okay. And Doug Flutie?
Actually, no, under 6 foot, RJ. Under 6 foot.
So it was Drew Brees?
Yes.
Or was he at 6 foot?
He was at 6 foot.
So who were the two?
Russell Wilson and Doug Flutie.
That's it.
Yeah.
And 152, yes, best passers ever.
Yeah. Then you started going back to like Sonny Jurgensen and stuff from the 40s and 50s.
When the average height was 5'6".
Yes.
So to me, it all made sense. It looks like we were wrong. Why do you think that is? Or were we?
I have one caveat here. And you can say, oh, you're giving me, you know, the three teams they've beaten so far, Cincinnati, Atlanta, and the Giants, are combined 3-15 when they're not playing the Cardinals.
But you knew they were playing those teams, right?
I did.
We're not saying Arizona's, yeah, one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah.
We're saying Arizona's exceeding expectations.
Yes, they are.
And you looked at the schedule.
Yeah.
You knew who they were playing.
Yes.
I mean, it's not like any of these teams are a lot worse than we thought.
Atlanta is.
Yeah, okay. And let's look at the rest of the schedule and see. All I know is this. They were underdogs against Atlanta.
Yep.
Arizona was. They were. Pass me the note, yep. Ken. Ken wants someone to know this real bad. This is quoting, Cards only a favorite in one of the last 9 games. Well, they haven't been a favorite in any of these games. Go ahead. Well,
if they've got to win 3 more for you to lose your bet, I'll take the bet.
You want it?
Yeah, I'll take it.
1,000?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, so we're going $1,000.
Arizona, they got to win three more.
Well, hold on. The over-under for Arizona in the season is 5.5. If they win 3 more, I win. If they win 2 or less, you win. Right? 3 more.
Okay, so we're not going to the half, isn't, because they already have a tie. We're not counting that as a half, right?
No, the tie doesn't count.
Okay.
You're right.
Good deal.
Are we in?
I'm good.
See, you want to double up too, Brett?
I do not.
All
that
right.
Shows weakness.
All right.
Hey, their schedule is brutal down the stretch.
Oh, well, there we go. So how many games are we in?
This will be the eighth game.
Right.
Okay. Yep. And they got three wins.
Yes.
This team feels like they've really exceeded expectations. It's weird. Now we're almost trying to say, like, wait a minute, they're really not ahead of schedule. Like, which one is it? You know something?
They're ahead of schedule.
It seems like they have to be.
Yes.
All right. I don't know. I kind of had a feeling that I got Ken on something, and now I'm starting to wonder.
No. I mean, they were an underdog in every game coming into the season.
The fact that they already have three games and a tie,
they've clearly exceeded expectations.
To get a little bit technical, but quickly, it's fractional wins, right? Yeah. If a team is a three-point dog, you're going to say, okay, they're going to win X percentage of time. So let's just say 42. You're going to give them 0.42 of a fractional win. And in theory, you're going to have those rarest occasions, Buffalo beats Minnesota or whatever last year, right, with 17. And that was a tiny fractional win that became a full win. And sometimes you're going to have Minnesota in that game, who you expected to win 90-plus percent of the time, that's going to go from 0.95 to zero. But mostly it's going to be, you're going to get about a third of a win there, meaning one out of three times you win the game. Now, over a 16-game season, that can go extreme one way or the other, but that's the way to bet. I'm actually going to do the math on this. I'll tweet it out. I'm going to look at the spread on all these games, do fractional wins, and if I don't come out over three, I'm going to be upset. Should a tie be a half a win, maybe?
It is on the contest. That's why the super contest.
No, I can't. Wow. As much as I'd like that, I can't do it. So let's make it official. We have $1,000, which really doesn't happen very often. I thought Ken was weak. I think Arizona gets the six wins.
You want to look at the schedule now or later?
No. I think maybe we'll let the...
Because they may not be favored in any of their games. I gave them a favorite at Tampa Bay, and that's probably not going to be a favorite there.
Luckily, your expertise isn't NFL. You're good at it.
Last 3 years. Yeah, no, that's your expertise.
All right, we'll see. Sure. We'll see on this one. All right, let's do this. Ken is going to step up even more. Him and Brad going head-to-head in college football.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have a best bet here on Straight Outta Vegas. Want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. Finding out when your check engine light is on can save you a lot of time and money down the road. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you troubleshoot the real problem and analyze your specific vehicle information, code, and mileage to get you verified fix solutions. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
To me, at the intrinsic level, sports betting Vegas is about disagreement. One side thinks one thing, one side thinks the other. They bet money. In this case, we bet $1,000, Arizona winning three more games this year. But in college, we got two big agreements here and one disagreement between Ken Thompson and Brad. Let's get to it.
Yeah, and the first we've got here, guys, is that Penn State, following their win over Michigan on Saturday night, is now ranked sixth in the AP Top 25.
Okay, number six in AP. Brad, where do you got him?
I only have Penn State number 10 in my power ratings.
Okay, what is it? We know that Penn State's a bigger name. Is it simply undefeated with a bigger name, or is there another reason you think they're overrated?
That is certainly probably the case, but I think just looking at their last two games, two big games, primetime, ABC, at Iowa against Michigan, Penn State just won those two games. They covered one of them, almost covered another, but if you dive into the box score, RJ, outgained by 62 yards against Iowa, outgained by 134 yards against Michigan, Penn State was fortunate to win those two games.
It's our belief stats are more telling in the long term than scoreboard. In this case, it sounds like the stats aren't as good as the scoreboard for Penn State. Ken, what do you think?
Yeah, and if you watch the second half of that Michigan game, Michigan really dominated the game, held Penn State under 300 total yards, and they got most of that in the first quarter and a half. Other than that, I really thought Michigan controlled the game. They just came up a little bit short. KJ Hamler is such a great wide receiver. He literally keeps Penn State in games, wins games.
Well, but that's part of who Penn State is.
I understand. Let's remember the clock management botched. Ridiculous offensive coordination for Pittsburgh cost them a one touchdown game at Penn State earlier in the year as well.
Which is, again, that zero because they didn't lose that game.
Yep.
Makes them slightly overrated. You guys say what, about 10th?
Yep.
Penn State 10th, AP says 6th. And what I know for sure, and I know this for sure, is that Michigan, regardless of the stories we want to tell about the game, is now 1-20 on the road against ranked opponents. One win, 20 losses straight up.
He smells.
We got an update on the Heisman Trophy here coming up in one moment. Do want to let you know, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by Hooters. Coming to Hooters every Monday all season to play Monday Night Moneyball. You're just a few easy questions away from a chance at cash prizes, freebies, and a trip to the season ender in Miami. Play Monday Night Moneyball at HootersMoneyBall.com. Joe Burrow, the LSU quarterback, having a fantastic year. So much so, he is now the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy.
All right, now let's define what we're talking about. We're going to start with Ken. Let's define what we're talking about. We're not talking about who had the best season up to this point. We're saying the betting odds right now say Burrow is the favorite, and both of you guys disagree that he shouldn't be the favorite. Ken?
I think Jalen Hurts is a more complete quarterback. He runs the ball real well. He's already rushed over 700 yards and 10 touchdowns. He mixes it up better than I think than Joey Burrow does. Joe Burrow, great passer, got the fast-paced offense right now. It's worked, but they have a better chance to lose. They've got the Auburn game. They've got to go to Bama. I think Oklahoma runs the table, and I think that'll reflect and give Hurts a better chance to win it all.
Okay, so you're saying let's assume LSU comes in, loses to Alabama. That's the one game, though.
Yep.
If he loses that game but plays a monster, I think it helps him.
Really?
Because I think there's an – here's the biases I see. I see an Oklahoma bias against Heisman winner. I think right off that hurts very badly.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be – I mean, you hear even a guy like Mike Lombardi say, oh, we should just name it the Oklahoma Quarterback Award. If you get that kind of sense, they're going to do everything they can to go against that.
Yeah.
The voters. This is a vote. We have to handicap the voters. Number two, it does feel like there's an Alabama backlash for years now. Does it, Saban doesn't bother him, but if someone comes in and is a Herculean effort, puts up 420 yards but lose by 7 against Alabama, does that hurt or help Burrow? I think it helps.
I'm neutral on it. I don't think it really hurts him or helps him. I think
he puts up 400 yards in front of the world in a like a David and Goliath situation.
So you're telling me the opposing quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, outshines him? I think it would help Tua in that case.
I think Tua missing all these games makes it a non-issue.
But it's only going to be one game he'd be back for that Alabama LSU game.
So it's one game?
Yes.
And how many weeks? And there's a bye before?
Yes, there's a bye.
Maybe. But again, Alabama has so many different ways to win. Yep. Is LSU going to win? Even keep it close if Burrow doesn't have a monster?
No.
And I'm not saying I'm sure it's going to help. I'm saying you would look at that as an easy loss. As, oh, he's losing there. Forget him. I don't think it has to be that.
Yep.
You agree?
I do agree with that.
So you're going to say anything about this?
Well, here's what I think. Burrow is more high variance. I could see him out of the Heisman race 2 weeks from now, or I could see him like a minus 1,000.
High variance because you didn't know him coming in the season. He was 200-1 to enter the season.
Yep.
Or high variance because you've seen it this year?
Not high variance because I've seen it this year. It's because of who he plays and the possibility. There's really good possibilities of him losing the Auburn game and the Alabama game. He could be totally out of it by the first week of November. Or if he has two really good performances, he'll be minus 1,000. He'll be like a huge, huge favorite here in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, well, that's a good thing, right?
Yes.
So I think what we're saying here is this. It's not just how good you are as a quarterback for the Heisman. It's politics sometimes. We don't want to vote for Oklahoma's quarterback. It's how good your team is. Because, I mean, what's the worst team that's won a Heisman recently?
Baylor, RG3. They won 10 games.
So you got to win, and that's a consideration. By the way, after Burrow, what's the odds?
After Burrow, Jalen Hurts plus 140. Just a little bit behind Joe Burrow, who's plus 120. $100 to win you 120. Then it's Tua plus 350. Justin Fields for your Ohio State, 10-1.
Wow. So Ohio State runs the table. What's Ohio State's closest game at this point?
24, the opener against Florida Atlantic.
But then, I'm saying what's the closest game of the upcoming games? Like, they're double digits now at Michigan, right?
Double digits at Michigan. They're double digits this week against Wisconsin. 14-point spread is their closest.
Ooh, I don't know about 10-1 doesn't look so bad. When we come back, we're going to go crossfire in a big, big college football game between these guys, plus two best bets.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.
And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Guys, we have Game 1 of the World Series coming up later on, shortly after 8 p.m. Eastern time on Fox. And right now on pregame.com, the Houston Astros are almost a 2-1 favorite.
Yeah, you think I have my mic on. I'm just trying to keep Brad and Ken down when they're always like screaming about their position. I got to keep my mic on. And if you look at the series, it seems cheap, man. Houston's 220. Take back on the Nationals plus 200. I mean, having the home field advantage gets you like to 130. Man, I kind of like Houston here. I'm not going to make it an official bet, but in the series, I do lean Houston.
All right, it is crossfire time here on Straight Outta Vegas. We've got a massive game in college football in the SEC, a top 10 matchup, Auburn at LSU this Saturday. Right now on pregame.com, LSU is a 10.5-point favorite.
That music means they're going head-to-head. Brad Powers.
So I like LSU the favorite here, minus the 10.5. I bet LSU here. And the headliner matchup is going to be LSU's offense versus Auburn's defense. But I'm going to the other side of the ball, and I'm going with LSU's defense here against an Auburn offense that I think they can make them one-dimensional. Why? LSU has a top 10 rushing defense in the country. And if I think they can force Auburn's true freshman quarterback, Bo Nix, to have to beat him over the top, I don't like that if I'm looking to back Auburn here. I like LSU minus the 10.5.
And I like Auburn. Here's the thing. They already have battle-tested. They went to Florida. They went to A&M. They lost a tough game to Florida. But Nix, I think, will mature from the three interceptions, some bad passes. Their defensive pressure that they will get on Joe Burrow will be by far the biggest pressure. That includes Florida, that he will be under this season.
Okay, Brad, LSU. Ken, Auburn. Remember, guys, when we disagree, we bet. Automatic $100 bet between the boys.
The NBA season opens up later on tonight. The co-favorites to win the title are actually facing off at Staples Center. It's the Clippers and the Lakers at 10:30 Eastern time.
What's the line on that game?
The line right now is the Lakers minus 3.5.
That's interesting because it, obviously the same building, but the fans are different based upon who's the home team, the ticket allotment. If you look at this, these are the two favorites, plus 350 each, Clippers, Lakers, and the Bucks are 6-1, Sixers 8-1, Rockets 10-1. But if you look at the win totals, this is over under how many wins. Milwaukee's 1, Sixers 2, Rockets 3, Nuggets 4, Jazz 5, then Clippers 6, then Lakers 7. What does it mean? It means that the regular season means less and less in the NBA, and these very elite teams are going to load management. They're going to look at it as a strategic use of resources. So if you do bet the NBA or if you buy tickets for games, make sure you understand those patterns because the teams are going to be different night to night based on who's playing. And I know the NBA hates it, but we got to live in this world, and it's an important factor for bettors.
We got a couple of best bets here coming up in just one moment. Want to let you know Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. Finding out why your check engine light is on can save you a lot of time and money down the road. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you troubleshoot the real problem and analyze your specific vehicle information, code, and mileage to get you verified fix solutions. Get in the zone. AutoZone. It is best bet time, RJ Bell.
Okay, we're going to start with Ken, then Brad. Rapid fire. This is your best early bet of the week, Ken Thompson.
I'm going to go with Michigan. I like the way they played second half at Penn State. I thought they had all the momentum. They didn't close it out, and Ronnie Bell dropped the ball. He won't drop any more of those. In fact, I think he'll atone and have a huge game like Collins Black. I think these guys can all move the ball, and I think Michigan's defense will get after Ian Book. Ian Book comes off a bye. That's good. Tony Jones Jr., outstanding running back. But I think Michigan slows them down, and I think Michigan comes away with the win. I laid minus 120 on the money line. Instead of laying the 1.5, Michigan wins the game.
Ken Thompson, follow him on Twitter, SportsX Radio. He's a host and a college expert, also on our podcast. Brad, you got 40 seconds.
Early best bet for me is Michigan State plus 6.5. And I'm going to fade Penn State, what we mentioned in the last segment. Generally speaking, I already think Penn State's overrated. Number 6 in the AP poll, I have Penn State number 10. And on top of that, it's not a good spot for Penn State. Here's a team that's off both prime time, back-to-back ABC games. Two games went down to the wire. They won. Stats say they shouldn't have won. Add it all up. Early line mover best bet, Michigan State plus 6.5.
So when he says early line mover, he's saying he likes Michigan State, Brad Powers, but he also thinks the line's going to move. And you've been right on that move, what?
5 out of 6 times.
So if you like it, bet it now. Tomorrow, an extra hour starting at 5 Eastern, the takeover of the Gottlieb Show. 2 hours tomorrow.
The Odd Couple is coming up next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are Straight Out of Vegas. And yes, we'll be back tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern time, 2 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And as always, the iHeart Radio app.
Straight out of Vegas!